Hey, you. Yeah, that's right. I'm talking to you. Are you looking for the best way to promote your podcast? It's easy. Just advertise your podcast to your ideal target audience. That's right, listeners of similar podcasts. Podbean has the best and most cost-effective options for you. Just go to the website sponsorship.podbean.com/STR. That's right. Your friends here at Scout Team Radio are hooking you up. Go to sponsorship.podbean.com/STR and you will get the best deals to get your podcast rolling. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy Scout Team Radio.
Yeah.
You want to like them, but you can't.
Are you listening?
What?
Are you listening?
Did you bring me on this show to insult me?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all don't want it with us, man. You straight gangsters over here.
Straight gangsters. Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Scout Team Radio. We bring it to you hot and live each and every weekday morning. And we are excited to be here this morning. I am one of your gracious hosts. They call me Loudbeard.
You are the most egotistical, self-deluded person I have ever met.
Yep, that's pretty much true. And the man on the other microphone, he is known to be a great patriot, and occasionally he turns on his microphone.
America! America!
Yeah, it's your boy, Chris America, coming to you live this Tuesday, March the 12th, 2019. We are just a few days away from March Madness, from the March Tournaments of Conference Champions. But Loudbeard, first, I want to go over some of the things we missed this past weekend, some of the things that I want to talk about, but we didn't get around to.
Okay, well, but today's the 12th. Isn't today Tom Brady Day?
Today is Tom Brady Day. You're right.
Tom Brady Day. God
bless
America.
Number 12 of all time.
Now, is he the greatest patriot of all time, or are you?
That's me. Of course it's me.
Okay.
It's always been
me. I'm glad we clarified.
Yeah. So I also want to talk about another great patriot. Someone who fought in the Air Force and then lost her memory and got kidnapped to a alien planet and then came back and saved the world. That, of course, is Captain Marvel. Watched that this past weekend, Loudbeard. I wanted to talk a little bit about it, but kind of got sidetracked with all the NBA news, all the other AAF news and March Madness news and everything else. But have you seen that movie yet?
Yes.
All right, what were your thoughts?
You know, I kind of saw some of your comments on social media, so I feel like you and I are going to be on opposite ends of this spectrum. I liked it.
Okay.
I liked this movie a lot. There was, you know, I'm into comic book movies, so I am going to have a little bit of a jaded mindset on this because I basically like all of them, even when they are bad. But I thought this was actually a really good movie. It was a lot of fun. I loved the 90s references. It was a fun ride and very enjoyable, and I think it's a must-see. That's my opinion on it.
I honestly don't disagree with anything you said. It was definitely a fun movie. The 90s, like, taking place in 1995 was pretty cool. My son watched it with him. He's like, what's Blockbuster? What's nine? What's that NIN shirt? Like, what is this? What is that? And I even told him, like, this takes place in the mid-90s. He goes, how do you know? And I'm like, Blockbuster, AOL, dial-up. Nine Inch Nails. It all adds up, kid. You'll learn one day.
The references make sense. They do.
Yes,
it's
they
the time
do.
Period.
Trust me.
It was a good time.
It was the best of times.
Yeah,
it was also the worst of times.
Yeah, that dial up, man. Like, what are you waiting for? It's still loading.
It's still loading.
It's loading a picture. Takes 20 minutes.
I guess for me, I am definitely a comic book person, but I'm not so much sci-fi. I can take some sci-fi I can't. So there was a lot of the first part of the movie where I was just like, oh man, this is like full hardcore sci-fi movie and less of a superhero movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sometimes the superhero movies get a little blurred with the lines and they go too cosmic almost, where it's gets way too interplanetary and futuristic and all this jazz. So I can feel that. I can pick up what you're putting down as far as the first part of the movie. But when it comes back to Earth and we get that whole 90s and then a lot of the music that was played, that soundtrack was...
Soundtrack's going to be fire.
It is. It was fantastic. Some scenes with some of the music in the backgrounds were just perfect. So, I'm going to stick with it's a must-see. And I get where you're going with that, the cosmic, planetary, too much sci-fi, but this overall was a great movie. Absolutely.
Now I feel like the sequel is going to be better, because since this was an origin story, origin stories also tend to be a lot slower than regular movies, because you're doing so much setup and so much storytelling and background stories, and sometimes those movies get a little slow. And that was another one of my complaints. And the main bad guy, who, I don't know, it was just an uninspiring villain as well.
Yeah, sometimes villains make movies, and when there's a so-so villain or just, like you said, an uninspired villain, sometimes it takes it away. But, with it being an origin story, the focus was more on the development of the character.
Right, the protagonist.
And I liked it because I also kind of felt like it was an origin story for Nick Fury, which added a little bit to the movie itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that little aspect too. So between Nick Fury getting some character development.
Right,
and
the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. development.
Yeah, so there was definitely some layers to this. But I don't know. I see
where would you rank it though?
It's not going to be one of the top movies to me in Marvel
history. Would you put
it in top
10?
Nah, it's still too early to tell for that, but...
You've seen it. You've seen all the other Marvel movies. Is it a top 10 Marvel movie?
If it was, it'd probably be like 9 or 10.
Yeah. And see, that was my thing. Is like, I didn't hate it. I just thought it was okay. Like, it was just like a... Okay, that was fun. I don't know. Like, I saw, like, at first I wasn't really excited to go see it. Then I saw the hype on Twitter for it. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll go see it. Twitter talked me into it. And then I went and saw it, and I was like, okay, it went back to where I thought it was going to be. Or where I was expecting it to be.
Yeah.
I'd put it around 15 probably around between 10 and 15.
Okay. Well, we'll take that. We'll take that.
It's definitely better than X-Men movies.
Yeah. Well, there was good trailers for some good X-Men movies during this one. We'll see what happens, though, because X-Men's are hit or miss. Very hit or miss. But you're right. It is better probably than 90% of them.
So the other things that we missed, Loudbeard, that I wanted to talk about was James Dolan banning a fan for life for just saying you should sell the team. Add this to reason number 572 as to why I cannot stand sports owners.
Yeah, James Dolan's one of the worst too, right?
Oh,
he's got to be listed up there as either the worst or one of the worst. Fans hate this guy. Nobody respects him. He's driving that franchise into the ground. Yeah, nothing good to say about James Dolan from my end.
It's not like this fan said anything crazy, like cursed him out or called him a name. He just said, hey, you should sell the team. And he's like, what's that? And he's like, I said you should sell the team. He's like, okay, how about you're banned for life? Like, I can't imagine.
I feel like
being...
the fan could have been very aggressive, though. Like, he was probably like, hey, you.
Well, did you see the video?
Sell the team. We're tired of you. Sell the team. And, and he thought it was threatening. Trying to see the other side of the coin here.
I guess. I feel like if you were a business owner, if everybody likes to compare themselves to the athletes, right? They're like, oh, I can't not show up to work and demand a raise. Like, I can't do that. Well, how about you look at the owner side and complain about this side of it, too? Like, you as a business owner can't sit there and have a customer tell you, you should sell your business, you're a horrible business person, and you say, all right, you're banned for life. Like, it takes an extreme amount of, threat or, language to ban a customer for life where, I don't know, you don't see that in normal life. How many times have you been at a store and you see another customer complaining and they're kind of yelling and shouting, and then the manager or the owner is doing everything they can to make it right for that person?
It doesn't happen very often. I'm sure it happens every once in a while, but typically somebody's got to do something stupid like threaten violence or or just throw out obscenities like crazy or whatever, make it a hostile environment, and then you can get them trespassed and banned and all that stuff. But you're right. This sounds a little too casual for James Dolan to bringing down the hammer of Thor, right? Like, this doesn't seem like the scenario where it was necessary. And again, this is one of those James Dolan situations where it's just James Dolan being James Dolan.
Yep, and well, there was a certain senator who decided to step up and say, hey, listen, Dolan, if you want to act like you own this stadium, that this stadium belongs to you, then we can take away all those tax incentives, those tax breaks, all that money that you get from the taxpayers, and you can own the stadium like you think you do.
Yep, hit them where it hurts, in the old, good old wallet, that fat wallet. You make it a little bit lighter, and then all of a sudden the whole thing changes.
And I'm 100% certain that the center is just doing this to score some political points, but I really think that politicians and mayors and city councilmen and state senators, they need to get tougher on these NFL, NBA, these sports owners that act like they own these stadiums, act like the world owes them everything, when they're basically operating major, like they're operating big time off of our dime. Like, we built them your arenas. We do all your renovations for you. We, you know, front the bill for police and all that other stuff. Like, and you want to sit there and treat us bad or treat us poorly? I'm just tired of it, man. Like I said, I will always hate owners more than athletes, and this is one of the reasons why.
Yeah, it's easy one to hate. All right, what other stories did you have from the weekend that you missed? Was that the last one, or you got more?
I think that was the last one. There was one other one I was trying to think of that I heard yesterday while I was listening to talk radio. This is kind of something we missed with the Antonio Brown story. I don't know if you brought it up, but I was like, did we mention that? I don't think we did. But the Steelers pick up $22 million in dead cap space for that trade.
I know. That makes it even worse. So not only are you giving away possibly the best wide receiver in the league.
Top three.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Top three. Over the last 5 years, top three wide receiver in the league. You're losing that asset, and you're having to just toss dead money away. Like $22 million, whatever it ends up being. It's a lot of money. So, again, this trade is just crazy, but Antonio Brown was smart. He did everything he could to just, I guess, make this trade happen, right? He was such a bad dude for such a short period of time. He did everything he could to make it a toxic situation where the Steelers just needed to get rid of him quickly. Hot potato. That's what he became.
Now, this was something I was thinking about, and it was a little bit of a conspiracy theory. Let's put on our aluminum foil hats. What if that's the way players have to act in order to kind of get what they want? Because they can't just go to the Steelers and say, hey, look, man, I'm just not feeling it here anymore. You guys aren't feeling me. I'm not feeling you. Let's be professional. Why don't we just trade me? Instead, players have to become what AB became this offseason and become a little bit off the wall, a little unhinged, doing lots of crazy things, saying lots of things to kind of force the hands of the Steelers into this trade.
Well, this is what happens when a good guy, a nice player, goes to ownership and says, you know, I'm just not happy. I either want more money or I want you to trade me. I'm asking you nicely, what are you going to do for me? Because they're not going to do anything. They're not going to do anything. The general manager, the owner, they're going to sit in a room and laugh at you. So you do. You have to go the route of Antonio Brown and be a total schmuck all over the world, on the internet, wherever you can. And then all of a sudden, somebody's going to listen to you because they don't want it to soil their reputation. They don't want their franchise to look like it's the worst thing ever because they've got this bad guy, this squeaky wheel on their team. So Antonio Brown, he played this thing better than we maybe gave him credit for. Maybe this guy's a super intelligent dude that just made all the right decisions. I mean, we're sitting here like, what is wrong with this guy? You know what? Maybe we should be looking at him and saying, what is right with this guy? Because there's a lot right now.
Yeah, and the only thing that he didn't get right is he got sent to the Raiders. I think it was the only thing that the Steelers did right in punishing him was sending him to John Gruden, the Raiders. Other than that, the Steelers lost this trade big time.
Oh, yeah. Total destruction right there. Antonio Brown went down swinging, and he landed a few haymakers right there on the Steelers.
When I first heard the story, okay, they got a third and a fifth. That's not bad, but it's not great either. Maybe they're just trying to dump that contract, dump the problem, dump the headache. And I'm like, wait a minute. They didn't even dump the contract? They still have to pick up $22 million? That just made the trade one of the worst.
Yeah. And I think what helped Antonio Brown out was this whole Le'Veon Bell holding out situation that the Steelers had. They did not want to go through that again. They just kind of said, you know what? We've been down this road. These guys will just hold out. They don't care. Let's just get rid of them. And they did. They had to suck it up, eat that money, and they lost. They lost big time.
Yes, they did. And there were a couple of winners, though, yesterday. The free agency signing period has begun. And, man, I felt like Twitter, every time I got on, it was somebody new signing somewhere. The Lions signed this guy. The Bills signed Frank Gore, which I was like, whoa, wait. Frank Gore's still playing? He's coming back?
Future Hall of Famer Frank Gore.
And a team wants him? That's insane. What is he, 65 now?
He's AARP qualified. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. So then I get the big-time breaking news, and I had to text the biggest Redskins fan I know, Mr. HTTR himself. I had to text you, Loudbeard. Send you a little texty text and said, Landon Collins to the Redskins. And at first, you were super excited, and then I told you the contract, and then you were like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, and organizations this time of year, they overspend. That's kind of the whole free agency deal with the NFL is it's, let's just throw money at problems, and that's what they're doing. That's what these owners do a lot of times is just throw money at problems. But some of these contracts, Landon Collins, he ends up with a pretty good one, 6 years, $84 million, with 45 of that million being guaranteed. So that's a pretty good contract, but this is a young dude. We talk about age quite a bit, right? We were comparing the Amari Cooper being 24, 25 years old against an Antonio Brown that's 31. So age matters a lot in this, and Landon Collins is a young Pro Bowl safety, and he was going to get big money no matter where he went. So the Redskins make the decision to go after him and sign him. But, you know, the thing that really kind of stands out to me is that the Redskins' issue last year wasn't defense. It was their offense. They had very little production at the wide receiver position, and they end up losing a receiver. Jamison Crowder goes and gets signed by the Jets. So they're not tackling the big issue here, and that's their offense. Now, they did get Case Keenum, but I don't think anybody's sitting there saying, okay, that's the solution to all of your problems. So they have a long way to go offensively to fix some of those issues, and it's the big splash comes on the defensive side of the ball. So to me, that was more of the head scratcher than anything else. The money, it's a lot of money, but I guess ultimately I was not surprised by this big landing by the Redskins. I mean, Landon Collins was going to get a lot of money. He was one of the big marquee free agents this offseason.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of when you guys signed Josh Norman track. So now you got two big name defensive backs back there and making a lot of money. So you gotta hope that pass defense has to come through now, because you got Josh Norman, you know, taking care of the DB side, and then you have, you know, Landon Collins policing the back, helping him clean up the deep balls. Now it looks like Norman's gonna make $11.5 million this year, and Landon Collins is gonna be around what, like 12 million ish.
Yeah, whatever the math works out. It's too early for math,
yeah,
man. I say no to math, yes to free agency. 6 years,
so
$25
million. Yeah, so $25 million around roughly, give or take, wrapped up into your two defensive backs. So we'll see how that goes. You can't sign these two guys, pay that much money toward your DBs, and then people throw the ball over you.
Yeah, you can't do that, but we will have to wait and see how that plays out. Now, the other big signings out there, I like what the Redskins did, and that's my team, so I could talk about them all day, but sometimes we just have to suck it up and move on. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, we are based out of the state of Florida, so we got to talk about some of our hometown teams here. And our Jacksonville Jaguars, they go out and they go and they put the money where it counts, and that is at the quarterback position. We already knew it was coming, but Nick Foles signs a four-year, $88 million deal with over $50 million guaranteed. And now our Jags are expected to cut their legendary quarterback, Blake Bortles, in this deal. How are you feeling about this now that it seems like it's a done deal?
So we got 4 years, $88 million. So that's not too bad compared to what other people are signing quarterbacks to. You know, you got the top 10 are 25 plus, so this puts them around $22 million, right? $50 million guaranteed. I think that's honestly a good deal for the Jaguars. People are like, oh, this is an eye-popping contract. 4 years, $88 million. And I'm sitting here thinking, wait, so the Jaguars just got a Super Bowl MVP quarterback at a very discounted rate compared to what the top 10 quarterbacks are getting paid? Sounds like that's not eye-popping. Sounds like that's kind of head-scratching, if you ask me.
Yeah, it is. It is. This is, to me, I like this deal. Now, the problem is, and this is why he didn't get more money, is there is a contingency out there that really just doesn't believe in Foles. They think it was more of a one-hit wonder type situation there in Philly. I've listened to talk radio. I've seen the talking heads on the four-letter network. I've heard people talking about this, that, you know, what are they getting? They're getting, you know, a below-average quarterback for most of his career that, you know, catches lightning in a bottle and then gets a big contract. I honestly disagree with that. I think Foles is a good quarterback, and he's got, you know, an instinct about him that really helps him out in those clutch situations. Again, Super Bowl MVP. Not every dude can say that they were a Super Bowl MVP. That is a heck of an accomplishment. And Foles isn't that old of a guy. He's still in his prime. So you're getting a guy in his prime that has that experience, that is a winner at this contract. I think it's a no-brainer. I think the Jaguars upgraded, though I do love Blake Bortles, and that's a different story altogether. But I do think they've upgraded, and I think they're putting it all on the line. They're saying, ownership's saying, the coach is saying, Tom Coughlin is saying, they're all sitting there saying, we're all in. We want this team to win now, and we've got the quarterback to do it. Now, what other pieces fall into place afterwards? That's the big question.
Well, that's what they're going to have to do through the rest of free agency and the NFL draft. They have to build a team around him. They can't just put Nick Foles out there on an island with that offensive line, with those wide receivers, and that running back core that can never seem to get consistently going. So hopefully they do, because I like Nick Foles, and I want to see him succeed, and I want to see the Jaguars succeed. We had a lot of Jacksonville fans here, and some of them are my friends, and I like to see my friends happy. So I'm hoping this works out for them.
No, you're really looking out for your friends. You're just, are you going to buy a Foles jersey now? Is that what you're saying? You're going to wear a Foles jersey around?
No. Nope. Okay. I might. Maybe I'll like get a white T-shirt and put Foles on the back and whatever number he is. I don't even know what number Nick Foles wears.
I don't either. It doesn't matter, because we're moving on to the Chiefs, because you're a big Patrick Mahomes fan, and you love the Chiefs because of him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs land the Honey Badger.
They did.
Tyrann Mathieu, yep, 3 year, $42 million. Honey Badger going to the Chiefs. They needed some help defensively, so I think this is a positive move for them. So now you need a Honey Badger jersey, right?
I do need a Honey Badger jersey, but if I'm going to do that, I'm going to take a Patrick Mahomes jersey first. But to steal a joke from one of our good friends, a new show to 12-Ounce Sports Radio, Pigskins and Penalties, they tweeted out that that the Coach Andy Reid, thought he was getting a honey bun. He didn't. He heard honey but badger, and he thought honey bun. He's like, sign me up. I want it. So he was kind of disappointed when the honey bun didn't show up. So
man, Andy Reid, he's a legendary snacker, isn't he? Like, if you think of somebody that
doubt.
Can snack better than anybody else in the world, like, I put Andy Reid up there top 10 easily.
And he's definitely that dad where you say, hey, Andy, you got a little something in your mustache. He's that dad that always says, oh, I'm saving it for later.
Oh, yeah. He's a saving it for later guy. He's a flavor saver. We know that for sure. All right, so other moves in free agency. It looks like the Bucks have made a deal to send DeSean Jackson, an unhappy wide receiver, back home to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, we mentioned he's kind of diva-ish, but we just kind of forgot about him because he hasn't really been that productive since his, what, first year with the Redskins?
Yeah, I agree with that. He has. He's been mid-tier. He's not an elite wide receiver.
There's some games, and I remember I had him on my fantasy team either last year or the year before. There's been some games with the Bucks where he'll ball out. He'll look like the old DeSean Jackson. He'll have like 115 receiving yards, one touchdown, six catches, that kind of deal. And then there'll be other games where it's like targeted two times, one catch for like 6 yards.
Well, I think you're referring to that magical run at the beginning of the season.
Yes,
when
I am.
Ryan Fitzmagic.
That's true.
He sprinkled a little fairy dust on the football, and him and DeSean Jackson lit it up. And so, yeah, you look at that and you say, wow, look at that production. But when you look at the entire season, yeah, he disappears at times. But this is good for the Eagles. He goes back home. The fans love this guy. He didn't leave on bad terms. They love him. They're going to welcome him back with open arms. He's just going to add an extra little wrinkle into that offense. He's not going to do anything, like, too crazy. But the Eagles needed this with them losing Foles. I think they needed to get the fans something to be happy about. So now the fans, they can say, all right, we brought you back one of your fan favorites, DeSean Jackson. He'll have three or four big-time electric plays throughout the season that you're going to remember the good old days, even though he doesn't do anything the other times. But those three or four plays will make it worthwhile because he is still a big, big threat guy. He's still speedy. He still has it in him, but he's just not that number one guy that he once was.
Yes, that is true. So, Loudbeard, one name that was missing from all of the announced signings was Le'Veon Bell. Man, he's having a hard time with this, Le'Veon Bell is. He tweeted out yesterday. Let's see where he tweeted out. He said, I am so torn right now. Sent a bunch of, like, stressed out emojis and then decisions. Sounds like he's got a lot of great offers on the table. Seems like he's got a lot of good deals ready to go. Now he just needs to pull the trigger on one of them. Do you think we find that out today?
Yeah, I do. I think we do. He's the big piece that hasn't fallen yet in this free agency market. And usually these guys don't last long because the deals are just so good. You have to make a decision quickly because that money will go away. Teams aren't willing to sit there and leave an offer out 3-4 days and then miss out on several other key free agents because there are a lot of other big-time free agents still available on the market. So you have to strike while the iron's hot. The longer he waits, the more likelihood that one of these deals could get pulled off the table. So he needs to make a decision. He needs to make it quickly, and I think it will happen today. I think we're just waiting for the story to drop. I'm waiting for, what, a Schefter bomb to come out there and let the world know where Le'Veon Bell's going. But the fan sourcing, the sending the emojis out, I don't know if I like that look. I don't understand the throwing it out to social media like, oh, I'm torn. Oh, this is terrible. And I just don't believe that this is a good thing. No, I didn't like it. Did you like it? Was that a good look for you?
I was indifferent for it. I was kind of like, I get it. This is kind of the world we live in now, Loudbeard. I need to let my thoughts known to the world. I need to let it out there. It needs to be known. And it's just kind of the world we live in now where we need to take pictures of our food. We need to tell everybody what movie we're going to go see right now. We need to tell everybody what we're watching on TV. And now we got athletes telling us that they're torn with their big-time decision. And I think part of it is just he's looking for attention. He's looking for love. You know, kind of like football recruits, like back when they were, you know, recruiting high schools, they love talking about, oh, I'm thinking about making this big decision, or I'm decommitting, or which hat am I going to put on? I think it just kind of goes back to that sort of mentality.
Yeah, Dirk Nowitzki the other day said, he's like, oh, players these days, they only care about social media and getting their face out there. And I'm kind of like Dirk Nowitzki. I'm an old man.
Oh, you're an old
head.
And
I'm sitting there on my lawn waving my fist saying, these young whippersnappers, all they care about is their brand on social media. And Le'Veon Bell, he's a whippersnapper, and he just cares about his brand. He wants that attention. He wants that love. He wants to know that people care about him. You know, he missed out a lot of that last year when it was all that negative publicity because he wasn't playing. So this year he needs to endear himself to fans. So we'll see where he goes. The rumors are the Jets are really going after this guy heavy. That's like getting traded to the Raiders, right? So Pittsburgh wins this deal. If Le'Veon Bell goes to the Jets and Antonio Brown stays with the Raiders, Pittsburgh wins because they've basically taken both of those players and sent them to a deserted island where nobody will ever see them again.
Now, which team would you prefer, the Raiders or the Jets? I feel like the Jets might be in a better position than the Raiders because they don't have John Gruden.
I don't know if I can. I can't do it. I can't do it. I think the Raiders are in a better position just because they have an actual quarterback. Darnold, to me, has to prove himself before I consider him to be a NFL-worthy quarterback. He hasn't proven himself yet. Now, sophomore seasons are usually that season where the quarterback takes that big leap. So I've got to see that first. But to me, it starts with the quarterback. I think Derek Carr's got a little more validity as a starting quarterback in the NFL. But, I mean, we're comparing rotten apples to rotten oranges, aren't we?
That's true. That is true. They're both just bad. Do you think he's going to get the contract he wanted last year with the Steelers?
Yeah, I do. I actually do. I mean, there's definitely speculation that it's such a devalued position and he's not going to get that money. He had that franchise tag. He could have been getting something for $14 million guaranteed. So he's going to want more than that. He's going to want this huge contract. I don't think he is worth it, but I do think somebody will pay him because look what Landon Collins got. Look what some of these other big-time free agents got.
Look what Nick Foles. There was another guy that the Raiders signed. I'd have to look it back up. But, yeah, he got a big contract, too. Antonio Brown got a huge extension.
Yeah. Yeah, the Raiders signed the offensive lineman. They paid him the most in NFL history for offensive lineman, Trent Brown from the Patriots.
That's right.
So, yeah, the money's flying around like crazy. And that's what happens in free agency. So, somebody... And it could be a team crazy like the Jets. Jets have the most cap space out of any team out there, and they need to start winning. They've been bad for a lot of years in a row, and they need something. And if that hope is Le'Veon Bell to come in and really, I guess, spark this offense, then you do it, right? You go out there and you write the check. So that's what's going to probably
happen. And time
heals
all wounds, because I remember when he was holding out, every NFL fan was like, oh, this guy's awful. He's so dumb. I can't stand him now. That he's a possible suitor. They're like, oh, I love you, Le'Veon Bell. Come sign with my team. But, Loudbeard, we are running late on the break. I have a question for you. A tweet that I saw. We don't have to do a full thinker or stinker, but I want you to think about this tweet that I saw. I want to know if it's a thinker or stinker, what you think. And the tweet is this. Basketball requires more skill than football.
I'll give you my answer after this quick commercial break. If you've been listening to Scout Team Radio for a long time, you know that myself, Loudbeard, has placed a bet or two in his day. That's right, I've lost the beard bet, I lost the romper bet, but one place I don't like losing is when I bet money, and I can easily do that at MyBookie. That's right, you can go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code 12OZSports, and get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. Hey, guess what? That is a lot of money. Do it.
When I'm working hard, I build up a thirst for sports. That's when I grab a cold 12-ounce sports radio. Ah, 12-ounce sports radio. Quench your sports thirst.
Hey, what's up there, listeners? This is your friendly neighborhood Loudbeard, and I'm here to tell you that there's two type of people in the world, those that are on a podcast and those that want to be on a podcast. And if you are one of those out there that want to be on a podcast, one of the first decisions you will need to make is which podcast host you want to use. That's right. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, you need to check out Podbean. Here at Scout Team Radio, we have been using Podbean since the very beginning, and we absolutely love it. They are easy to use, and they have affordable options. Just go to podbean.com/STR. That's right, Scout Team Radio. Podbean.com/STR to get started today. What are you waiting for?
Hey, everybody, it's your favorite patriot, Chris America, and I want you to listen every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and on replays from 11 a.m. to noon of Scout Team Sports. Listen, George Washington did not cross over the ocean blue in 1492 to defeat the Nazis, so you can listen to the same tired national clickbait sports stories. So once again, tune in to us every single morning, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and then we replay from 11 to noon. I will see you there, and God bless America.
Well, welcome back out there, all you listeners. We appreciate it. You're listening to Scout Team Radio. I'm Loudbeard. He's Chris America. We bring it to you hot and live each and every weekday morning. We come on live at 6 a.m. on 12-Ounce Sports Radio, replay at 11 a.m. on 12-Ounce Sports Radio, and we drop each and every show as a podcast. That podcast is sent over to our partner podcast network, Barnburner. Make sure you check it out, barnburner.ca, or you can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or our website, scoutteamradio.com. We also like to get social, right? So interact with us on Twitter. Hit us up at Scout Team Radio if you want to tweet at us live, or if you hit us up during the day when you think of something, we will talk about it on air. We love to interact with our listeners. Right now, it's National Pancake Day, so if you want to hit us up and hashtag National Pancake Day, I could live with that because I love pancakes. Pancakes are delicious. And nutritional, and they add a lot of value to everything that we are doing. Oh, boy. So before the break, Chris America hit me up with a hot, hot question. It requires more skill in the – did you say more skill in the NBA than the NFL? Well, is that
just
what you said?
Just that it takes more skill to play basketball than football.
So if we're going to do the old thinker or stinker answer with this one, I'm going to give that one a stinker. I mean, they both require a ton of skill. Yeah, I mean, you can look at sometimes and say, oh, well, football players just have to be big. Like, if you're a big lineman, you can just hit each other. Well, no, there's skill that goes into that. There's a lot of technique. Same thing with basketball. A lot of people say, oh, you could just be tall to be basketball. I'm not going to say one's more skilled than the other. To me, they're both really great sports that require
they're
a lot of skill.
They're just different. And then
different.
You got to go through the different positions of each game, you know? Like, there's a different set of skills to play offensive lineman than there is to play quarterback, than there is to play running back. I mean, if you want to talk about punter, maybe. There's still technique and skill involved in punting.
Yeah, I mean,
like, nobody can just go out there and just punt a football. Like, I can shoot a three-pointer in the NBA. I can maybe even make a three-pointer in the NBA. Like, if I get lost among all the players and people forget I'm on the court, which is very easy at my 5'8" stature. Like, it's very hard to lose me. You can pass me the ball and I can shoot a three, make a three-pointer in the NBA. It could happen. It's a puncher's chance, but I'm more confident I can make a three-pointer in an NBA game than I am confident that I can punt a ball 60 yards.
Or make a 50-yard field goal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't even get me started on field goal. To me, that's the hardest thing in the world because I can't even kick a ball over the offensive line. It would go straight into the center's.
That.
It would go straight into
that.
The center's behind. It really would. I got no lift on my kicks.
That's what she said.
Yes.
Where were we? Oh, hey, by the way, Twitter, hit us up. Make sure you check us out at Scout Team Radio on Twitter. I'm happy it's National Pancake Day. So should everybody else. But, you know, yesterday, actually, I feel like in sports, we're getting kind of contentious. There seems to be a lot of just bad blood brewing out there in a lot of different directions. And I feel like I've got three or four different stories where it's just either athletes or fans just acting amok. So I'm going to start out with one of the big names. My boy Conor McGregor gets arrested yesterday. Now, a fan does one of the old put the camera in his face deals, from what I understand. And he takes it and he throws it down and he smashes the phone. So he gets arrested for, breaking property or stealing the phone and then smashing it, whatever, destruction of property, whatever he gets arrested for. He gets released pretty quickly, but man, bad look for Conor, right? He's going down the wrong road.
I don't know if this one is, I think it is a bad look. You never want to get arrested. You never want to, you know, do that sort of thing. But for me, I wouldn't say I'm the biggest Conor hater, but I'm very critical of Conor McGregor. And when this news broke, I texted my brother-in-law, Craig, who is a big-time Conor lover. Him and I get into about how overrated Conor is, and he thinks he's one of the greatest of all time. And I said, you know, once I found out what the crime was and what the situation, I don't blame him. I honestly think if I was ever a celebrity, there would be times where I'd come off as, like, very rude. And one time that I'll come off as very rude is somebody who is shoving a camera or their phone in my face, constantly bothering me while I'm trying to go to dinner, while I'm trying to go watch Captain Marvel at the movie theaters, when I'm trying to just live my life. And you catch me on a day when I'm tired or just already in a bad mood, yeah, it's not going to end well. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not 24/7 in a bright, full, cheerful mood, and I think that's everybody. I think everybody is that way, where if you had somebody shoving a camera in your face and it happened all the time. Now, people like to say, like, oh, you make millions of dollars, you're a celebrity, this is kind of to be expected. Well, that doesn't mean you're not human anymore, that you just all of a sudden become a robot. You still have good days and you have bad days. And I think Conor just got caught in a bad day. And you know what? He also needed to win a fight. He hasn't won a fight since November of 2016. And that cell phone was the perfect opportunity, the perfect opponent for him to beat up.
Yeah. I think fans do get a little out of control. And sometimes there needs to be... Now, smashing a phone is taking it a little too far, but I don't blame him.
He deserves to get arrested if the person wants to press charges and everything. But at the same time, you got to look at the guy and say, well, don't be an idiot next time. And your phone won't get smashed. But, you know, that's not the way the law works.
No, it isn't. Now, Russell Westbrook also gets into a little altercation. Now, he's got a little bit of history. I guess him and Jazz fans typically don't get along. So Westbrook, he just gets up. He's on the bench. Somebody in the crowd is yelling something at him, and he really just he takes offense to it. He gets up, and he says, I swear to God, I'll bleep you up, and you and your wife. And he says more. He keeps saying it. He's saying, I'll bleep you up. I'll bleep you up. So he's threatening a fan at Utah, somebody that yelled something to him. Now, this is the kicker, because he thinks what the fan said, and I, you know, if he heard it, then that's what he heard, but he said, the man said, get down on your knees like you used to, saying it, and then Westbrook took that as a racial, disrespectful, inappropriate comment, and he really took offense to it. So I think fans need to have a little bit more accountability. I think sometimes these fans will just say anything to these players. I think it's pretty disrespectful. Now, whether or not the fan actually said that, it's a different story, because the fan's got a different story of what he's saying. How do you feel about this?
I feel like it's time for the NBA to start hiring security to hang out near the bench. And their job is to get rid of fans like this. Look, it's one thing that we can say you're a bad player. We can say to James Dolan, you know, sell the team. It's a whole nother thing to have fans sit at the front row or wherever and start throwing out racial slurs, racial epithets, and all these different kinds of vile and vulgar things that these players take. Like, players should be allowed to go to work just like you and I go to work and not expect to be talked to that way. Like, if I were at my job and a customer were to start talking to me that way, my boss, my manager, would come in right away and get rid of that person and ban them from... It wouldn't even be tolerated. It wouldn't even come even close to us having to trade blows. It would just be you swoop in and you get rid of the problem. We talked about a customer complaining about, like, you're a bad worker or you don't deserve to own this, you know, this business, or you're a bad manager, you don't deserve to be manager. Those are one things. But when you start throwing out vile, visceral things at people. And Westbrook, I feel like, probably gets it more than a lot. Him, James Harden, Kevin Durant, those kind of guys. The guys that are kind of hated in the NBA.
Yeah, they get it more.
They are, and they get it more than anybody. And it's one thing on Twitter, and I think it's kind of bad on Twitter, but it's hard to monitor that. But it's very easy for you to put a security by the bench. Just give them a chair at the bench or give her a chair at the bench. And their job is to listen out for these things. And the second someone says something vile or vulgar, you're out. You're gone. You're done. We'll take care of it for you, Westbrook. Westbrook shouldn't have to be the one talking to him. And I think what was like 1 or 2 weeks ago, some kid stood up and like pushed him while he was on the court. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I get it's just a kid, but at the same time, like, as a parent, you need to monitor your kid. You need to let your kid know, like, hey, you can't go out and push the fans. Like, we're trying to give fans this experience where they can be a part of the game. They can be right there, and it's all great. But fans have got to be more responsible with that.
That's a great segue here, Chris America. You talk about fans needing to be responsible for that.
Uh-oh, now this happened. I know where you're going.
The soccer match with Birmingham City.
That's not where I thought you were going. Okay, go ahead.
Now I've got a couple other ones here that I'm going to bring up, but the Birmingham City fan. Now this was a soccer match. I saw this video. I want to say it happened like Friday or Saturday. The soccer fan runs onto the field during the match and just sucker punches one of the players. Grealish was the player, and he just absolutely sucker punches this guy. Security comes, tackles the fan, and the fan's getting 14 weeks in jail after the attack. Yes,
as he should. I was thinking here, I hope he gets a severe punishment, because there needs to be a message sent out to people that you can't just run on the field and take your emotions out on people. Like, I get it. It's upsetting. It's frustrating. I would be lying to you if I said I've never yelled at a TV or been extremely angry at the result of a game. But you got to check your emotions at the door. This is just entertainment. It is just a game.
It is just a game. Now, we talk about fans misbehaving, but sometimes players misbehave.
Yes,
also.
This is where I thought you were going.
Now, I'm going to go Lightning Maple Leafs game on this one.
That's not where I thought you were going to go.
All right, look at this. We're going in many different directions. So in the Lightning Maple Leafs game, defenseman Morgan Rielly was picked up on a microphone calling a referee, I'm going to say a bleeping bleep, but the second bleep in that bleeping was a homophobic slur. So now we're getting players that kind of get out of control at what they're saying at the refs. Now, we've seen this time and time again, not necessarily the homophobic slur part, but where players get so worked up about what a call that's made. I mean, we're seeing Saints fans still protesting about a call made in a game 3 months ago. So fans get upset, players get upset, and now the NHL is sitting there and investigating Morgan Rielly for this homophobic slur that he yelled at a referee. So, I mean, I'm telling you, it's contentious out there. Right now in the sports world, fans are aggressive, players are aggressive, owners are aggressive. I mean, who's safe nowadays?
Yeah, and I know there's probably going to be a few listeners who are like, oh, this is typical for today, 2019. Everybody's so soft. Everybody trying to monitor what other people say. It's not so much that. It's the fact that I believe that just like when I go into work, I expect to be treated with a certain level of respect, and people expect me to treat them with a certain level of respect. Athletes and referees and things of that sort, they also should be allowed to go to their jobs and demand a certain level of respect where they don't get talked to like that they don't get called those. Like, if I told my boss that they were a bleeping bleep because they said, hey, Chris, you did this wrong, and I didn't think I did something wrong, and I called them a bleeping bleep, guess what? My ass is going home. I'm being suspended. There's going to be an investigation, and that's all there is to it. And again, this referee should expect to go to work. Now, there's some level of expectation of people expressing their frustrations. And, you know, just like at normal jobs, I've expressed my frustrations to my boss when they've told me that I've done something wrong and I didn't feel that I did. And we talk it out and we hash it out and it's good. But I don't call them a bleeping bleep.
Now, there's no place for that. Now, you know, I talk about fans. I talk about players. I talk about referees. But sometimes the media gets it kind of hard. And there is one guy that I have to give a little credit for. He finally apologizes to us, Chris America. You and I, okay. Scout Team Radio, you know, we were very critical on this guy for a long time. And at least I was. You loved him the whole time. I was critical on this guy. But he has been really rude to the media. But after we talked about the Celtics falling apart and then them using that as that bulletin board fodder to be able to come back and motivate themselves and start playing well, Kyrie Irving finally comes out and apologizes for being such a jerk to the media. And I'm going to tell you right now, Kyrie, I accept your apology.
I accept his apology as well, Loudbeard. Now, the story that I kept thinking you were going to segue to and then you weren't doing it, I'm just going to go ahead and throw it in there. We had a fight last night in the NBA.
Raptors, yes.
Yes,
Cavs.
Raptors,
yeah,
Cavaliers.
I actually have that on my list. I was going to go to that one next.
Ibaka and Chris get into a big, I wouldn't even call it a big time fight. It was, Ibaka is a little bit of a sucker choke because he grabs him by the throat and then he throws a swing and it was over as fast as it started.
Right. I mean, it gets broken up quickly because it's, you know, there's security guards, there's refs, there's other players. You're not going to get a long fight. It's not like they're going to circle up and let these guys just start swinging at each other. What's going to happen is anytime there's a fight on the court, it gets broken up within milliseconds. So, yeah, you get a couple. You might get one swing in, and that's really all that happened here. Now, I don't know what Chris said because when you go back and look at it, you know, Ibaka got knocked down, so he's probably not happy about that. But it almost looks like there was an exchange, and whatever that exchange was, it aggravated Ibaka. He jumps up and just runs after him. Like you said, he kind of grabs him by the throat. He turns around. There's a swing. They're swinging at each other. It becomes a little bit of a melee. And they both get ejected, which is the right move there. But I really, you know what the problem was?
What's that?
I think Ibaka's feelings were hurt because the Cavs were stomping the Raptors, which to me is the biggest, craziest part of this whole story.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were. When I saw the score, I was like, wait, they're up big? Okay, that makes sense as to why Ibaka's losing his mind.
I know. Like, we're losing to the Cavs. Did LeBron come back? Like, what is going on right now? But the Cavs, they're just like the Phoenix Suns. As soon as they get eliminated from the playoffs, they're red hot. What is going on? It's like Bizarro World at the bottom of the NBA standings.
Yeah, New York Knicks, not so much, but Cavs. Red hot, Suns red hot.
Yep, Cavs red hot. On a side note with the NBA, Hornets lose last night. That helps the Magic out. So the Magic not playing got get a little help from the Hornets losing. I can take it.
Yeah, the Magic are off again tonight. So hopefully they can come back on Thursday against the Wizards and get it done.
Hopefully. I don't know. I don't trust the Magic. I can trust them as far as I can throw them, and it's a big team of big guys. I can't throw them very far. Well, I'm not that strong.
Loudbeard, you mentioned Kyrie apologizing to the media. Okay.
Yep.
And we've been high on the Celtics lately. We've been talking about how they've been on this winning streak since we gave them the bulletin board material. We started fluffing them up, and look at what happened.
Last night, not so good, was it?
They lost. So we got to get them back on their winning ways, so we got to go back to criticizing them. The Celtics had a complete meltdown. They're going to go into the playoffs losing big time. I don't even think they're even going to get a gentleman sweep. They're probably going to get swept out. The Celtics are imploding again. And there you go, Celtics. There's your bulletin board material, courtesy of Scout Team Radio.
Yeah, what I don't understand with the Celtics is how do you let the Clippers put up 140 on you? Like, what kind of defense are you playing where you let the Los Angeles Clippers put up 140? I mean, the Clippers were kind of in sell now mode when they got rid of Tobias, and they kind of, like, not gave up on the season, but they weren't putting everything forth. And now they're, I mean, putting 140 up on a team like the Celtics that should be a tough playoff team? Nah, Celtics, I'm going to have to put them back on they're done again. I mean, we like them. They do what they do terrible. We hate them. They do well. So I guess I'll have to go back to hating them. I don't know.
You're welcome, Boston fans. You're welcome.
Yeah. And that final of that Cleveland game, 126-101 against the Raptors, that's kind of embarrassing for the Raptors. I don't know what's going on there. And Kawhi was playing. I mean, maybe the Raptors are just taking it easy like the Warriors are and just waiting for the playoffs. But some surprising finishes as we're getting down to the wire here with the NBA. I think there's only, what, 14, 15 games left for most of these teams. So it's getting down to the nitty-gritty. It's time to see what these guys are made of.
Yeah, but a team that remains hot are the Red Hot Rockets with 9 wins in a row. Ladbird, is there any chance the Rockets can keep this going into the playoffs and end up with the number one seed?
Absolutely. They're getting hot right at the right time. They got all their players back healthy. This is the best this team has looked all season. They're looking like that team that they were last year. Man, this is great for Houston. I'm glad they pulled it together, and I'm excited to see what they're able to do, because you may see a Houston-Golden State matchup, and if Houston can get revenge for that series last year and take one from Golden State, man, to me, that would be legendary, absolutely legendary.
Yeah, it's going to be a great series. They would have to play the Clippers, who are also pretty hot. You mentioned how you were surprised that the Celtics gave up 50 points or 140 points, but they're on a 5-game winning streak, as well are the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, these last-minute runs these teams are making, they're wanting to get themselves positioned for this playoffs. Hey, go for it. These are teams that we weren't expecting to be hot at this time. There's a lot of talent on that Spurs team. DeRozan and Aldridge, and obviously they have one of the best coaches in the NBA, or the best coach in the NBA. I mean, that's not a team that you just want to – I mean, that's kind of a scary team going into the playoffs if you get stuck against a matchup against the Spurs. I mean,
right now that would be the Nuggets.
Yeah. And the Nuggets with their inexperience.
Right.
That would be kind of rough. Well, Chris America, I don't know how this keeps happening, but we are up against it. You know, I was going to mention LeBron today, but I didn't. So we're going to just leave it there.
LeBron James.
But Jeff Van Gundy thinks they should trade him.
They
should trade. The Lakers should trade him.
They should trade him to the Orlando Magic for Nick Vucevic.
Do it. Done deal. Make it happen today.
Do it.
We'll get a waiver from Adam Silver for the trade deadline. Just happened today.